You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Friday's action. On this edition, you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Gary Capewell, Dale Gibson and Andy Holding in the studio. It's national action from Exeter and Warwick, accompanied by All Weather Racing on the Poly Track at Lingfield in the afternoon. And then the usual Friday evening fair, All Weather meetings at both Wolverhampton and Dundalk. Plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Right now though, my name is Mark Walton and I'm joined in the studio by none other than Mr. Chris Pimlott. How are you, Pimmy?
Very good afternoon to you, Mark. I'm in absolutely rampant form. The sun is shining, the sky is blue. What could be better? Happy days.
Yeah, happy days indeed. We're ticking closer towards the Cheltenham Festival as well, Pimmy. Less than 3 weeks to go. Willie Mullins has a strong hand, but comments from Paul Nicholls today, or reading about his comments today, that he doesn't think all of the Mullins hot pots can win, and more so, he doesn't think that Willie Mullins will pip him to the Trainers' Championship in Britain either. So that's a bit bullish from Paul Nicholls.
It is bullish from Nicholls, because I wouldn't say he's breaking eggs with big sticks at the moment, that is for sure. But
he has turned the corner a little bit.
He has turned the corner ever so slightly, and he's turned the corner at the right time, just as you could say about Nicky Henderson, really.
Yeah.
But what we've seen over the last week for Heen, Arctic Fire, you know, these good horses are still as vulnerable as the lesser lights. And, you know, for me, tread carefully with your anti-post. I know we're non-runner, you get your money back in the big four, but even so, you know, be careful, because plenty of time, 3 weeks, these guys are now nursing these horses.
Yeah.
That every day they're going out exercise, they're hoping that they don't pick up a bruised foot, they don't get a knocked tendon or a fetlock or whatever. And so it's real anxious times. Fortunately for Mr. Mullins, one goes by the wayside, there's two more waiting in the wings.
Yeah.
Whereas your lesser guys, you know, this is their holy grail, going to the Cheltenham Festival in just under 3 weeks' time. And, you know, they're pacing up and down, I should imagine, just wanting to get there. Because for them to get there, it's like having a winner anyway.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's sometimes forgotten how hard it is to get these good horses to the targets in one piece.
Oof. Definitely, and it's just proved it, hasn't it, this last week, to be honest.
And such is the strength in depth for Willie Mullins in that division. He had the front two in the betting this time, maybe a week and a half ago, in Faheen and Arctic Fire. Neither of those will run.
He's still got
the favourite.
Yeah.
In Annie Power, who's just asked to supplement Annie Power, and he's got a favourite there.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Strength in depth, I think that's what it's called.
Yeah.
Or just sheer greedy.
Yeah, he's in an enviable position, I suppose you could say. But Paul Nicholls, 8-13 to win the National Hunt Trainers Championship, by the way. Willie Mullins, AA's 11-8, 16s bar those, so it's a two-horse race. But do you think Nicholls will still win it?
I think Nicholls will still win it. I think, to be honest, I can't even think it's on Willie Mullins' mind, the British Championship, you know what I mean?
Mm.
I think he's got bigger fish to fry than that, really.
Yeah, fair enough. Apparently as well, Paul Nicholls is going to have a smaller string at Cheltenham than he's had for a number of years. Is that because he's selecting the horses more carefully, or is he just doesn't have the strength anymore?
Yeah. Simple as that. I don't think it's a case of being more selective, because, again, you know, if you've got a horse good enough to go to Cheltenham, it's going.
Yeah.
Whether it goes with a realistic chance of winning, if it's good enough to get in the handicaps, or if it's good enough to be in the big races, then it'll be there.
Yeah.
So he's going with a smaller spring because he hasn't got the firepower.
Yeah. Four championship races, he doesn't have a single favourite.
Yeah. Well, I think that tells its own story, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But by the same token, doesn't mean to say you can't win any of them.
No, exactly. Fair enough. We'll leave the Cheltenham Festival there for a little bit, because I want to talk to you about the Grand National, Pimmy. And we've seen Saint R return to winning ways on Wednesday, winning the Veterans Chase at Doncaster. He showed his usual guts and determination to win that. We know he stays well. He's a runner-up in the Grand National last year, so we know he handles the course. And we trimmed him from 33s into 25s at those of bigger price in the National. Could you see him running well again?
Yeah, definitely. You know, he's a strong jumper. I mean, these veteran chases actually have been a fantastic innovation by the BHA. They don't often say that about them, but this one's definitely been an innovation. They're always well supported.
Yep.
They always get good good horses running in them. And all these guys yesterday, a lot of them were mid 140s. So they're in the pond, but they just couldn't ply the trade with the younger ones nowadays. So great innovation. And again, he showed plenty of guts and determination, did Centaur yesterday afternoon. And you do know with him, A, you've got a good jumper, and B, you know you've got a real trier on your side.
Yeah.
And that's two big ticks in boxes that you need for the National. So, yeah. You wanted to be on before yesterday's success if you're a Centaur fan, really, because, you know, you've missed the boat now.
Well, yeah, 25s is still reasonable enough, isn't it?
Well, it is, but you'd like 33s, wouldn't you?
Of course you would, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I think he's still a player, definitely.
Yeah. Interesting developments at the top end of the market as well. Many Clouds has long time been favourite for this year's renewal, having won it last year. He's been 12-1 for a long time. Silviniaco Conti, on the other hand, since his Ascot Chase win on the weekend, has shortened significantly. He's now 12-1 joint favourite for this year's Grand National. Connections have said they want to go to the race, so apparently they're going to wait and that'll be the next target. He's got a bit of class about him.
Yeah.
He could be well handicapped in there as well.
Definitely, definitely. He's a class animal. He'd just been in the doldrums a little bit, but at the weekend, okay, I'm not saying he beat anything outstanding there, but it was just the way he did it.
Yeah.
And I think the biggest thing for Silviano Conti will be the confidence booster that that easy success has given him. You know, he'll be thinking he's back to being kingpin again now, and I think that's a very important factor for him. And, he's a very sound jumper. Can't imagine that the National fences will be an issue to him. And if Noel Feely takes the mount, as you'd imagine, you know you've got a top-class pilot on board as well. So a lot of ticks in boxes, Silviano Conti, that's for sure.
Yeah, he was as big as 25-1, by the way, for the National before the weekend. We shortened him to 16s on the back of that, and he's been supported since into 12. So.
Yeah, so I think, again, you know, before the race, people still maybe speculating, and then once...
Had he gone at the game was a bit of a question, wasn't it?
And then once he's come good, they've jumped on the bandwagon.
Mm.
Yeah, but he class animal, that's for sure.
Yeah. What do you make of Many Clouds, by the way? Out of all the National winners in recent years, he's probably come out of the race the best, hasn't he?
Well, the record of horses winning the National and then winning another race was absolutely abysmal, wasn't it?
Yeah.
We had to go back a long, long way to find a horse that won the National and then won another race. I think the big thing for Many Clouds is that really and truly, his trainer Oliver Sherwood thought last year might have been a year too soon for him.
Yeah.
He ran in the race, he won the race, but he's had that time to mature, strengthen up more than likely mentally and physically. And so, despite him hiking up the weights, he still could be a valuable player in the National this year because, as I say, his trainer really thought this was going to be his year. And again, he's proved that, you know, he still has got an engine, and mainly he's still got an aptitude for the race.
Yeah. Red Rum, the last horse to follow up in the National back in the 70s, 74.
Yeah.
He followed up from 73. Is he capable?
Well, that is a difficult shout, isn't it? And as you say, you know, going back to the 70s since it was last done. So
is it possible anymore?
That might be the case that it's not, yeah. Might not be able to do that, and especially because the handicapper more than likely has a little bit more say in it than that. And also, it's a much higher graded race now than it was back in the 70s, you know. So, to defy history is not going to be an easy task. But I think of some of the past winners, he's possibly got a chance of being another winner.
All right. We've just on a sign up, by the way, we've got a Grand National trial, if you like, at the weekend in the Ida Chase at Newcastle, a 4 mile chase there. And Ballycolour, for anybody who's interested, has been very well backed. He's now 7-1 favourite, having been as big as 16-1 last week. So
they're
coming for Ballycolour in that race.
Ground drying out up at Newcastle. Could be run on good ground, they say.
Which would go against Roos Blanc as well, Kerry Lee's runner.
Yeah, she won it bottomless, that's for sure. But again, I suppose they've got a little bit of an issue with the clear skies, frost on a night.
They covered the course, apparently.
They've put the covers on, yeah. So we'll see. And we'll just see, because they've laid a little bit of tapeta down there at Newcastle. Yeah. We'll see how that gets on with the frost, won't we?
Yeah.
Happy days.
There'll be people furiously kicking it up at Newcastle, I imagine. That it wasn't the most popular decision, was it?
It wasn't, no. It was not, no. But there we go. And again, talking of tapeta, in today's Racing Post, there's a job perfect for you,
right,
Mark Walton. Absolutely.
Am I losing this job? Have you heard something?
Well, with that new lad at the helm, Lee the Knife, just don't you count on anything, young fella. Do not count on anything. But let me just give you this. Talking of Tapeta Farm are looking for competent and lightweight riders for top-class training facility in the US of A.
I'm a shoo-in for that, surely.
You are. Your requirements is you're under 9.5 stone,
oh dear,
21 or older, and you've got a driving licence.
I've got 2 of the 3.
You've got 2 of the 3, yeah.
2 out of 3 ain't bad.
We'll chop your legs off and you get the job.
Right, okay. Anything else on your mind then, Pimmy, before we move on to Thursday's action?
Oh, there's so much on my
Friday's
mind.
Action,
so much on my mind. You were always on my mind, but there you go. Victoria Pendleton, very much in the news of late.
Yeah.
For me, they're giving her a mountain to climb. As far as I'm aware, she hadn't sat in the saddle less than 12 months ago. Now, yeah, obviously, she had sat on a saddle.
Different kind of saddle.
Correct, different kind of saddle. And with a machine underneath her, that if she pulls left, it goes left.
Yeah.
If she pedals quick, it goes quick. Not quite the same now, I'm afraid.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, the fall at Fakenham was what happens. Now, obviously, I've got a riding school. I've been teaching people to ride for 20-odd years.
Yeah.
So to teach a person to ride in 12 months is not an easy task. To teach somebody to be capable of partnering a thoroughbred is
even more difficult.
Starting to get difficult.
Yeah.
And then to get somebody to ride in a race, it's just really a big, big ask.
Considering as well, it's not just a race, it's the Fox Hunters at the festival, which is...
Yeah, it's not just like a point-to-point going around somebody's field on a Sunday afternoon. It's the biggest race for amateur riders in the country.
Yeah.
With 25 runners, 3 miles, and Cheltenham fences. So, big ask, I think. Big ask.
Yeah.
And I'd be more than surprised if she makes the lineup.
Okay.
And I think you've got to take on board, and I know we're going back to the old boys again now, but Steve Smith-Gathels, he's a jockey's coach. John Frankham, in many people's opinions, one of the best jump jockeys ever.
Mm.
Both saying, really, this is an accident waiting to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, it's sad. He was ambitious, but it's sad that she's probably not going to make the grade. But I like the fact that she's still going to go point to point, and even if she doesn't make it to
Listen, she's done marvellous, absolutely marvellous, to get as far as she's got in the short space of time. Don't get me wrong, she's done tremendously well. And she'll have had the best coaches and put a lot of time in, a lot of effort in. But again, it's miles on the clock. It's getting all that education.
Experience,
isn't it? You can only do so much, you know. And, you know, I take my hat off her to what she's achieved so far. But I think the targets that her supporters are giving her is possibly a little bit too high at the minute.
Okay, well, let's leave it there, Pimmy, because we must concentrate on Friday's racing. Pimmy's got...
And by the way, with no disrespect for ponytails, we love them here at William Hill.
Of course.
Love them.
Yeah. Anyway, let's move on to Friday's action. Pimmy's got 4 races.
Oh, not more work.
Yeah,
that was us done.
Let me move on, Pimmy. Oh. 4 races.
This is going to be the longest podcast in history.
One at each of the 4 domestic venues. We'll get Pimmy's thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, then we start at Lingfield in their 3:35. This is a Class 3 handicap over 7 furlongs. We've got a field of 8 here, Pimmy. I suppose we could start with Clement, who's arriving here on the back of a hat-trick, but gone up in the weights again.
Yeah, Clement is an interesting player, that is for sure. But started winning his ways off 55, up to 72, now off a mark of 83. Georgia Cox gets a good tune out of this Clement, and despite his meteoric rise up the weights, he's certainly going to be a player again tomorrow afternoon. You've got Richard Fye's horse here, Majestic Miles, who won a claimer last time out. Adam McNamara, obviously, I think he's only had about 4 or 5 rides. He's had 1 winner. So you've got to take on board that you've got an inexperienced pilot on board. But by the same token, he takes £7 off the horse's back. But the one I'm going to side with here is number 6, Until Midnight. A winner 43 days ago. He's up £7 for that success. But I just thought that win might have bolstered his confidence. And again, he just comes here in a good frame of mind. And William Carson's riding a few winners at the moment as well. So I thought we could take a little chance on Until Midnight.
Until Midnight, then, the selection for Pimmy in the 3:35 at Lingfield. Heading to Warwick next for their 3:45. This one is the Budbrook Chase. It's a handicap, a Class 2 handicap chase. Good prize money on offer here, Pimmy, as well. 8 runners. Who would you like in there?
Well, fantastic prize money. Just over 18.5 grand to the winner. Prize money down to 6, so that all augurs well. 8 of them are in the lineup, and it's a very, very tricky little event, I think, this, simply because when you look through the form figures, the last runs are PPU 6-5-8-7-2. So none of them's been in really fantastic form the last time we saw them on the racecourse. Obviously, top trainers are represented. Paul Nichols, Pipe, Evan Williams, Twist and Davies, King, Tom George, Venetia Williams. they're all there battling it out for the prize money. And something that I tend to get myself into on occasions is deep trouble. And he unseated just for 4 or 5 days ago. So he's got to put that little disappointment behind him. Minella Reception. He won last time we saw him at Foss Lasp, which was 3 runs ago. He fell on his debut run this year. Then he didn't run too badly, I didn't think, at Ascot last time out in a fairly competitive handicap. And I think there could be a little bit more to come from him, despite him being a 12-year-old. And you could also say the same about Harold Durr, who had possibly a better profile over hurdles than handicap chases. But again, from a yard that's in good form, and he's quietly slipping down the weights, is Harold Durr. And at the bottom, you've got Renard, Venetia Williams runner, pieces on for the first time, has supported the blinkers in the past. I think the only positive thing regarding Renard is that Aidan Coleman's gone to ride this one when Venetia's got a number of runners elsewhere, and he's chosen to come here for Renard. So that might well be a tip in its own right.
Yeah, the fact that he's riding, they put the pieces on for the first time, it wouldn't be the most obscene angle you've ever seen.
But, no, definitely not.
Are you siding with Renard, or did you go with Minella Reception? Which did you decide?
In the end, I tossed the coin, and it went heads for Renard.
Renard is the selection then in the 3:45 at Warwick. To Exeter next for the 3:55. This one is the Devon National Handicap Chase. Class 3 event over 3 3/4 miles, or further than that, actually. It's extended 3 3/4 miles. 13 of them in the lineup here. Pimmy, it's going to be a bit of a war of attrition, this.
Oh, isn't it just? But again, good prize money on offer, down to 6. A real slog, as you say. The ground's officially soft there at Exeter as we speak. And Armed and Dangerous, something that I hope you're not, Mark. Again, rising up the weights, 88 set off winning, wins off 97, up to a mark of 108 now. Not an easy task to do the hat trick, but he's again one of the few that comes into the race on the back of a real promising run. And again, James Davies gets a good tune out of him. Admittedly, he's 11, so you wouldn't imagine that he's progressing, but he certainly has done on the last twice we've seen him. So he definitely is a player, despite that £20 rise in the weights. Of the others, I thought one or two were interesting. Philip Hobbs is well represented. Colin Tizard's got Wizard's Bridge, who I thought ran well enough in defeat last time out at Kempton. Behind Silver Grove, I thought that was plenty good enough run. And the Tizard yard in good order at the moment. And the other horse I thought ran well last time out, and he's got the cheap pieces on for the first time, is Merlin's Wish. He's been obviously a bit of a difficult horse to train, this fella, but didn't run too badly, I didn't think, up at Wetherby. When again he was a long way behind Armand Dangerous on that occasion, but that run certainly will have helped him progress, and with the pieces on might again help him to concentrate a little bit better. But I'm going down the lady route again. I'm sticking with Vivacious Venetia in the shape of Sorok and also Rocky Bender. Both horses come here with bits of chances. Both horses I feel will be each way value, and I can't really split the two. So two of Venetia's against the field.
It could be a good day for Venetia Williams then. The final race we look at is the 7:45 at Wolverhampton. This is a Class 4 handicap over a mile and 1.5 furlongs. We've got 8 of them in the lineup here, Pimmy. I suppose we should start with Coulter Kaelin, who's coming here chasing the hat-trick.
Yes, indeed, chasing the hat-trick. From a mark of 78, then 80, now 84. So again, scumpering up those weights, that is for sure. But again, every right to, and is in great form. Whether the handicap has just taken his toll with her now remains to be seen. But again, definitely a player. But again, I'm going to go for the trainer here and the shape of John Mackey. He's got 2 course and distance winners in the field, Off the Pulse and Ligano Felice. And both of them, I feel, will be very, very competitive tomorrow night. 8 runners at this moment in time. We can back these two each way, I feel, to land the money for the Mackey yard. And the other interesting one here is Black Dave. Aled Beach takes them out there. He's only an inexperienced lad, just had 3 rides. He did ride Black Dave last time out to finish 4th. Possibly he's in the grips of the handicapper, Black Dave, but with the young lad 7 off, just could make him a player.
But it's the John Mackey pair for you?
Correct.
Let's just have a little bit of a summary, if you wouldn't mind, if you'll spin us through your 4 selections for Friday one more time.
Yeah, looking for the winners for the podcast. Wouldn't it be beautiful if these all 4 went in?
Oh, it'd be fantastic, especially when you've picked 6.
Yeah, I'm going to say, wouldn't it be beautiful if one wins? Refreshing change.
Yeah.
Anyway, here we go. Linkfield in the 3:35. We're going to go until midnight. At Warwick in the 3:45, it's Renard. in the Somerset National at Exeter, post time of 3:55, taking the Venetia Williams 2, Sir Rock and Rocky Bender. And finally, the 7:45 at Wolverhampton. It's the John Mackey duo, Off the Pulse and the Gano Felice.
Good work, Pimmy. Superb. Thank you very much. Good luck and enjoy it on Friday. He's gone to sleep. There you go. That's the thoughts of Chris Pimlott on Friday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50 p.m. Gary Capewell, Dale Gibson and Andy Holding, the team in the studio. We've got good cards at Exeter and Warwick over the obstacles. There's all weather racing at Lingfield in the afternoon as well. And the usual Friday evening fair, Wolverhampton and Dundalk, to keep us entertained throughout the evening. So plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Friday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.